The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome in to Rover Sports. A big week post Cowboys of Sports Talk. Dr. Stephen Lewis, Coach Josh Dacey, Spencer Grossinger coming in from Lancaster coaching basketball. He'll be here. Kyle Newby, our great producer. Matthew Vito, incredible videographer with. Every week it seems like the cameras get bigger, the lights get brighter. It just gets better. And we're on Jacob Media YouTube. We're also, if you're listening live, we're at 860 AM, 97.5 HD2. And what a great week it was. And as we spoke, Dr. Lewis, this was a nail-biter. I usually like to leave a little bit early, at least a couple minutes early, so I don't get caught in traffic before I do the injury report. But this was a game you had to wait really to the last second. And I've seen so many Eagles games like this over the years, probably at least a handful of Redskins games, where the Eagles basically lost in the last second. And it just looked like everything was heading in that direction. And shockingly enough, the Eagles beat the Dallas Cowboys to go 8-1, 28-23. Your thoughts?
This, Bruce, was a statement game. It really was. It was the most important game and the turning point of the season where you could actually say that this team is, I mean, they're legit as they had the best record, but this was a major statement game. Good bottom line is good teams find ways to win. And for years, they've always been on the fence there. Maybe they lost these games. This was a statement game, and especially for Dallas. Dallas losing that game. They had the ball on the 6-yard line with a chance to win the game, and they kept going backwards, and the Eagles defense stepped up. So this was a major statement game. It was a coming out party for this team to say that we are legit and we are the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, my view of the game is great concern for the Eagles secondary. James Bradbury has lost two or three steps. We don't know if he was hurt or not. You never know with the Eagles. They keep things close to the vest. But CeeDee Lamb just torched him. 200 yards. Dak Prescott, incredible, 300 yards of passing. And the way the Cowboys came back in that game and drove it to the 6-yard line with 20 seconds left of the game, plenty of time. And in Cowboys fashion, They jumped off sides, they got sacked, and the Cowboys found a way to lose. It reminds me of Dennis Green. Dennis Green, famous coach for the Vikings, Cardinals, may rest in peace. He had a lot of great sound bites, but one of the sound bites is that winning can become a habit. It can become a habit. So with these Eagles, particularly Jalen Hurts, winning has become a habit. I want to welcome Charlie Bowles to the show. And Charlie, you watched that game. What were your overall thoughts about Eagles-Cowboys?
I'm shocked that the national people did not pick up on what I did with 4:32 left in the game. At 4:32 left in the game, Mike McCarthy again proved why he is the worst time management coach in the history of the NFL. And as I will continue to say, time management kills more games than blocking and tackling. He approached that with this was going to be his last stand. They got lucky and got the ball back in the end. But as far as he was concerned, this was his last trip down the field. He could have hustled, gotten position to kick a field goal with 3 timeouts and a 2-minute warning left, and basically wouldn't have needed a touchdown in the end. But for whatever reason, and I'll never understand why at the time, analytically they're not thinking that. He literally they slow played this. They didn't rush to the ball. They were in no hurry whatsoever. They were going to win or lose. It was just dumb luck they got the ball back in the end. But in McCarthy's mind, I'm sure of it, he thought that they were going to have one possession to win it. They should have had two. He should have kicked the field goal, and they would have only needed a field goal to win in the end, and they would have won the game.
Well, certainly Mike McCarthy is not a great strategist. When he had Brett Favre and he had Rodgers particularly, it made him look good. But I've never been a big fan. Spencer, you watched that game with the Cowboys. Do you think McCarthy lost the game? What contributed to that Eagles loss?
Well, the Eagles don't lose. That's clear. I mean, the Eagles have had the best record the past, I'm going to say, 26 weeks. I actually came away from the game, I came away from the game actually being more impressed. I thought the Eagles would win by more. Dak Prescott threw for almost 400 yards, and I think that this offense is actually looking better. I don't think the Cowboys have a ton of great receivers. I mean, you have CeeDee Lamb, who's like probably maybe a top 10 guy. Not the most physical traits, but a solid receiver. And I thought that Prescott might have played one of his best games that he's played in a while, but I think that McCarthy is a fine coach. I think that he's actually been kind of slammed by the media. So I think that he's just like just slightly above average, I would say. But I don't think he's a complete disaster. I really don't think so.
So it's interesting how the Eagles are 8-1. And we are kind of getting spoiled here with Eagles victories to the point where we are looking for holes in the team, holes in the armor, and the Vikings game. I'm sorry, though they did win that game. The Miami Dolphins game was really a great game, and they seem to dominate that. But we could look at almost every game, and obviously the loss against the Jets, which I considered was a trap game, and it didn't surprise me a lot. But as far as your concerns, Josh Dacey, what are your concerns about the Eagles? And if you could highlight that, please.
Well, I think the secondary is a concern, Doc. You know, your safety position. You know, good receivers are finding ways to get open. But one thing that, you know, we're talking about we're looking for things that we should be concerned about. The one good thing coaches will always tell you, if you have a good team and good culture, you're going to find ways to win, not lose. There's a fine line between those games where you're going to win the game because you're that confident, you have a mature locker room, great leadership. They found ways to win. Charlie, I could not believe Dr. Lewis, I could not believe the last drive. It seemed like it was maddening how, like, first of all, they couldn't run the ball. And then the Cowboys get the ball back, and then there's a personal foul. And like, Brandon Graham, what, he have two sacks? It was phenomenal how they played, but they still found ways to win the game. And that's what good teams do. Great teams do that. Villanova, when Jay went on that run, they found ways to win every time, especially down the stretch.
I think you used the word that really is appropriate here, and it's culture. There's the culture in the locker room, and it starts with the quarterback. They really do look to him, as young as he is, as a leader, and he's very calm. And boy, this city has just fallen in love with him more and more. When he made that comment, "I would do anything for this city," in his post-game press conference, that just, you know, that's a Bryce Harper kind of statement. But, I mean, he just, you know, look, the stats weren't so sexy. He was 17 for 23, 207 yards. He did have two touchdowns, but he missed some receivers. But for the most part, you're starting to get the feel that you had with Randall Cunningham and Don McNabb that this guy's going to find a way to win these games. And that's unbelievable. I mean, I get the chills thinking about that and how he's maturing into this role. And, you know, look, I mean, we're picking apart, and that's what we do at Rover Sports. We're looking for things that are potentially bad. Obviously, the secondary is an issue. They have Beiner that is going to get more acclimated to this defense, right? He's been with us for 2 weeks, so he'll get more acclimated. They're going to heal up. Now they have a bye week, but it goes down to culture, Bruce. It's about the culture of this team, this locker room. There's veteran leadership from Fletcher to Brandon to the offense to Kelsey. And they're finding ways to win, and that's what good teams do.
Yep, in looking at the game, you saw a big sack by Fletcher Cox in the first half. And you always say, you know, he gets older and older, but it seems that he really is maintaining himself. And whatever snaps that Fletcher Cox gets, he makes the best of it. And Brandon Graham was, you know, he doesn't get as many snaps as he used to. But just to see him with just that burst of energy, getting those two sacks at the end of the game, those two guys, like you say, culture in the locker room, incredible. And we're going to talk about the injuries. Spence, I know, has a comment, and then I want to talk about the two main injuries, one of whom is Jalen Hurts. Go ahead, Spence.
Bruce, I just have a question. I mean, you've been watching football a long time. Where would you mark this Eagles offense in terms of, you know, maybe historic offenses? And what do you think of the job of Brian Johnson? Do you think that he's one of the best play callers in the NFL? I mean, the fact that they're creating such explosive plays like that throw to Smith, it just seems like the Eagles can move the ball at will. And for a first-year coordinator, like, don't you think it's – I mean, I'm not going to answer your question, but what do you think about Brian Johnson and the job he's done this year?
Well, firstly, it's a two-part question. I think that they have an 8-1 record. I would say if I look historically, the NFC, I would say, is kind of devoid of great teams. And – and teams have receded. The Cowboys started off great. They receded. The 49ers markedly receded by losing three games. The fact that they win, I think we're less than 50% through the season. So I don't want to make historical comparisons. And certainly this Eagles team, that, you know, Jalen Hurts hasn't won a Super Bowl. They played well. But I think so far Brian Johnson and also Sean Desai, considering the revolving doors of the secondary, I think Sean Desai has done okay. And I don't really fault, if you remember, with Jonathan Gannon, most people followed the scheme, the lack of blitzing, the lack of pre-snap movements. Sean Desai is much better in that respect. And so I don't hear anybody really criticizing the coaching. And individually, it's up to the Eagles to cover their man. And particularly C.D. Lamb, I think he's a, you know, a top three receiver in the league. I think he's incredible, and he showed what he could do. You know, he basically got open at will, and the fact that the Cowboys stopped throwing to him, I mean, he had 200 yards. But I believe if the Cowboys would have just done a steady diet of C.D. Lamb, I think they would have won the game.
Were the Cowboys winning at any point during the game?
No.
They weren't winning. But they felt like
they were up 14. They were up 14-7 early.
Okay, that's good. Okay, thanks, Charlie. I appreciate that. So, Charlie, looking at this Eagles team, in answering the coaching and all that, I think it's too early to say that they're an epic great team. But I think we'll agree the NFC particularly has receded, and there's not a great team. There's not a team that you're really looking at. There are a lot of good teams. And particularly with Hurts, who seems like he's battling a chronic knee injury, I think it's too early to anoint them NFC champs. What do you think, Charlie?
Yeah, it's kind of like San Fran after week five. And now we look where San Fran lost a couple since. I think I think the Eagles have a pretty tough stretch coming up after the break. I think they got KC Buffalo back-to-back. They got Seattle. They got Dallas. Again, I think that'll be right around week 12, week 13. And I think then there, when you look at who's playing their best ball of the season, you know, San Francisco ripped off three good wins over pretty good teams, Seattle, San Francisco, and Buffalo. But again, it's still a little bit too early. I think you got to wait another three or four games to see who's peaking and injuries at that time. And then you kind of zero in.
There's some random events that have happened in the league. One of them merits discussion. Carson Wentz has basically come off of the scrap heap. It has been signed by the Los Angeles Rams. I think Stafford will be ready to play. But Sean McVay has resurrected the career of one Baker Mayfield to the extent that he's a starting quarterback now in Tampa Bay. And I wonder if Sean McVay, if Carson Wentz is resurrectable. Spencer, your thoughts?
It's a very interesting question, Bruce. I worry about Wentz because I worry about his size. Like, Baker Mayfield never had a chronic injury, and I feel that Carson Wentz, I feel like his rotator cuff is, like, removed from his body. I think that his throwing motion is so wide and his elbows out so far that it just is not a consistent throwing motion. And I feel that Carson Wentz, in terms of his accuracy, he was never really that consistent. He was a good runner of the ball, and then you'd throw it 20 times. But has Carson Wentz ever been a really accurate quarterback, even going back 6 years?
Yes, he was very accurate.
Yeah, I mean, there were some dimes he threw against that Giants game. Remember the Bart Spotcast pass on Thursday night a couple years ago?
Boston Scott. Yeah, but...
No, Fencer, I disagree. I mean, he was very accurate. He was an elite quarterback. He was the MVP of the Super Bowl season until the injury, which coincidentally happened in L.A. He's going back to there. And Bruce, to answer your question, I mean, he's going to play for one of the most innovative offensive minds of ever in Sean McVay. And again, if there's a chance for anything to happen for Carson, it's positive. It's for him to be around that culture and see what he can do and maybe latch on to a starting
job.
But
Steve, you doubt that it's going to actually transpire into anything. We saw him with Washington and we saw him with the Colts. They let him go. I mean,
you know,
right?
Everybody thought Baker Mayfield was over. They were writing his obituary and you know, he's resurrected his career to no extent. So I wouldn't count anything out. I mean, it's a matter of what Carson Wentz is between the ears and what kind of heart he has. And I mean, we were love this kid. I mean, this is a guy that Bruce, remember, he went on a date and he had his playbook in his lap while I was on the date. And what happened to that guy? He got married and I think this was a real psychological blow. I mean, he goes out, his backup quarterback wins the Super Bowl, and then he's got to come back and see a statue of his backup quarterback who won the Super Bowl in a season that he led that team to the number one seed and home field advantage throughout. If they did not have home field advantage throughout, they would not have been there. I mean, so
he should have admitted that it bothered him.
Of course
I would have
it
had more respect. He didn't admit it, though. No. He kept hiding it.
I think it's a big psychological
blow. He stayed
blow.
Closeted on that issue.
Well, you know.
Well, again, it's hard for a starting quarterback to accept a backup role a lot of times. And Wentz, he showed signs of himself that we didn't see initially. When he just basically ghosted the city, ghosted the media, and just hid. So his kind of... he was a little Simmons-like in the sense that Simmons just hid and disappeared. And he didn't really come out and say outrageous things. Like, Wentz, he just hid. And he made it clear that he wasn't going to play here again. So I think he turned off a lot of the Eagles fans. Like, they were in love with him. But when you get jilted by somebody you've dated for a couple of years and they just ghost you, they don't answer any of your calls or texts, you know. And then I think he had the ego. He was in Washington. He was in Indianapolis. But he's experienced the idea that he may not pass this way again. He may not play in the NFL. There are a lot of quarterbacks, once they are done, they just don't get another chance. So you wonder what Carson Wentz we're going to see. Are we going to see a now humble Carson Wentz, kind of like the guy from North Dakota State? Or are we going to see the kind of pouting diva who believes that he should be starting and who's going to potentially be a passive-aggressive troublemaker?
I'm going to take what you're saying a step further. I mean, he was a toxic cancer in the locker room. If you remember the Alshon Jeffrey, you know, we now know it's Alshon Jeffrey, but those interviews that were being taken, that this guy was a toxic cancer in the locker room, and they wanted Nick Foles to be the starter. So
we're up against a break. We are Rover Sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome back into Rover Sports. We're on Jacob Media YouTube. You need to hit the subscribe button and you can listen to all the great content, including the Eagles post-game show with myself, Mike Missanelli, Seth Joyner, Derek Gunn. And this week, got a week off, so I guess I'm going to spend a little more time with the family. And then we're peeking against a big game away in Kansas City, a Monday night football game. Especially, we might be going possibly to the Ocean Casino to watch that game. It's fun to watch a game with Seth Joyner and Derek Gunn. You know, I like to sit in there and just listen to them talk. And I'm not the quietest guy, but when I'm in the room, I'm there learning. Because those guys have so much experience. So I want to thank Joe Krause for giving us the opportunity. to have Rover Sports. We want to thank, of course, Matthew Vito, who's a wonderful guy, brother of Mike Vito, who's been with us for a lot of years, and the whole Vito family has been great to Rover Sports. And we're looking at college football, and it's really been a fun year. And Penn State is hosting the Michigan Wolverines, and we have a Penn State alum here. And Josh, tell us what your thoughts are on this game. What do you see in the crystal ball? Should be a great game, an epic game. And I think that, Spencer, are you going to the game?
Yes.
You go to the game, and I actually have never, I'm embarrassed to say, I've never been to Penn State. Always wanted to go, but I know it's supposed to be a fantastic atmosphere, and I've always rooted for the team. What are your thoughts? Are you excited about this game?
I'm excited about this game. In many ways, Doc, it's James Franklin's legacy. You know, he's never been able to win against the top 10 team. He lost against Ohio State. It was one of the worst games offensively we saw in years. So you got Drew Aller. You got a sophomore backfield with Kayvon Allen and Jonathan Singleton. The receivers are getting better each week. The defense has been strong. They played against Jordan's Maryland team on Saturday, 151-15.
Yeah.
The defense looked as strong as they've ever played. Really turned the ball over. Nasty. They played great. The offense looked a lot better, but Penn State's offense has forever looked always good against bad teams. No offense, Doc. And Michigan, they got J.J. McCarthy. They've got Filmgate. They've got Penn State's play calls. They've got everything. Jim Harbaugh has already dialed up. But it's going to be a fun game. I think it'll be relatively low scoring. I think J.J. McCarthy is a heck of a quarterback for Michigan. I think he's, in my opinion, he's the Heisman Trophy lead candidate right now. So from as a Penn State former alum, I would love nothing more than Penn State to throw a wrench in this playoff that just came out.
You watch that game closely. Your Maryland Terps against Penn State. What stood out to you? And obviously, in my mind, there's two competing factors. One factor is that Penn State is a hell of a home crowd. How many is it? 90? How many thousand?
108. It's all about 108.
110, yeah.
110,000. So it's an enormous crowd.
It's a shame this game is at night.
They're
great.
They
should be at night.
They should have the game at night.
White out, yeah.
That would make it 12 o'clock.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, I think it's all about TV ratings.
But let's look at the numbers, Bruce. I mean, obviously, that the elephant in the room with the signals and the signs that Harbaugh stealing from Penn State. But Penn State's defense is second in the nation against the rush. Okay, that's unbelievably impressive. And they're sixth in the nation against total yards. Unfortunately, Michigan is second in the nation against total yards. So it's going to be a hell of a defensive matchup. And Penn State, you know, as far as points, is sixth in the nation, and Michigan's fifth in the nation in points. So it really is an interesting matchup. I believe that these are the two best teams in the Big Ten. I think Ohio State is a bit overrated, mostly because I think they have the most overrated coach that I've ever seen. But this is going to be a great game. And if Harbaugh didn't steal too many of the signs from Penn State, I think Penn State upsets this team. It's a 5-point. They're a 5-point dog.
Penn State's
a 5-point dog at home.
That's a lot. And if you consider the home.
I'm going to defer to Charlie Bowles on this.
Charlie Bowles.
5-point dog at home?
I'm sure you're watching this game closely. And we want to know, obviously, everybody wants to know your picks. There's a lot of people who have the pen and paper out, or they have the number 2 Eberhard pencil. So everybody's listened to Rover Sports. Charlie Bowles is the king of sports gambling. And how do you break this game down? Go ahead.
Well, I think, number one, is something going to happen with the Big Ten before Saturday? There's a rumor going around that the Big Ten could, Michigan could face discipline by the weekend from the Big Ten. Not from the NCAA, but the Big Ten. They're getting so much pressure. Also, when it comes to the X's and O's, I mean, Penn State's going to need to stretch the field. And do they really have anybody who can? With Cephas and then Lambert Jones, and they have three wide receivers. I think the three starters. I don't know if they have a real deep threat in this game.
They do not.
The line opened at 7, got crushed down to 4.5 as of now. So usually it's the sharps coming early. The public bets as the week goes on. So somebody again, at 7 took advantage of it. I tend to wait it out, and I'm a last minute guy. As you saw last week, my picks all changed from what I say on Tuesday to Saturday and Sunday. They're completely different. But I think at the end of the day, this is Penn State's Super Bowl. I mean, they showed up really flat at Ohio State. I don't think that's going to happen twice. again, whoever brought up the good comment about the rushing defense. Michigan loves to live and die by the run. It's weird. McCarthy's a five-star quarterback, and they don't use him as such. He's more of a game manager, which, again, now, will McCarthy have a coming-out party? He really is a talented guy. I think it's going to be an interesting Saturday, and not ready to pick a winner yet. But, again, somebody thinks they know something. That line moved a lot in the first couple days.
Interesting. Well, I would hate to see the Big Ten. I'd hate to see anybody come down with discipline the week of Michigan-Penn State. That would be just plain stupid, because this game really is a premier game for the league in the Big Ten, and with the in Penn State such a great home crowd that there's just no reason for that. Even rooting against Michigan, I'd hate to see it. I'd hate to see it's enough of a distraction already, but to bring discipline down on the 11th hour before game. I don't think anybody would be in favor of that, Josh.
Doc, you know, it's so funny. This call stealing, sign stealing. You know what? Every coach does it. Every coach in every sports does it. We did it. We do it in college basketball. They do it in the NBA. Advanced scouting. Everybody does it. This is just a side story, in my opinion. It's a joke. It really is. Like, I guess what? Whoever does it better wins. You know, at the end of the day, Charlie, both teams have to show up, and they've got to defend, and they've got to play offense, and they got to put points on the board to win games.
Well, Josh,
if you know where the ball's going, it is a little bit easier. Yeah. But now there's a story out there now that they're saying Pete Thamel sat on, that he was aware of last week that everyone was stealing Michigan signs. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens the next couple of days. The NCAA, if it's up to them, they'll sit on this forever. You'll get a decision in 2030. But I think it's the Big Ten. I think it's the Big Ten that it's all these coaches that are gathering up. And look, Michigan wasn't dominant. They were really not a really good team until Harbaugh got there. And even the first couple of years, they weren't good then.
Yeah.
So it can't be kind of a let's take the giant down either attitude. So, I it's going to be interesting to see. I read a little bit today that the Big Ten is getting so much pressure that they may have to do something.
Well, with that, I mean, if you literally know a pass or a run is coming in, no other school, for what we know, is sending students to the game and filming behind the sideline, because when it's on the TV copy, it's harder to see. Everything's behind the sideline. So, I mean, if you literally know a run or a pass is going to occur, I mean, your chances of winning, that's just such a like the Houston Astros, and it needs to be laid out, Josh, because
the Patriots versus the Eagles.
Because here's the thing. Nobody is spying behind someone's sideline. I mean, that's taking it to the next level. We all agree that you can look at television copies, or you could try your best to look across the field at signs. But if you are going that extra mile and sitting behind the sideline, and literally you know it's a run or a pass, you're going to win. That is a totally unfair advantage. And here's the thing. It's not only the Big Ten, but the College Football Playoff Committee is made up of ADs that are not going to like Michigan, so the committee can allow them to not play. And I'm telling you, Purdue is a terrible team, and Michigan played their worst game of the year last week.
We're up against the top of the hour. Station ID, we are Rover Sports.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Welcome back into Rover Sports. Eagles, Cowboys, Sixers. We haven't even touched upon them. It's really a football feel. It seems to me, just my own comments about Michigan, you have one very rabid booster who basically got dressed into... There's a funny comment I'm reading about whether Coach would have got dressed up in Central Michigan gear, put on his sunglasses and steal signs. And that's exactly what this assistant did. But if they cannot connect it directly, there's plausible deniability. If they cannot connect this to Jim Harbaugh, I think the everybody has to limit this. They suspended this guy with pay, which is interesting. He's still getting paid, which most people wouldn't be. But I think they're going to cut.
He actually resigned.
He resigned. I'm sure there was no pressure there. But he did resign. And
He didn't go rogue, though. Can we make that clear? That I believe 100% it came from the top, that from Harbaugh.
I believe he was
taking
care of. Who cares?
You know what? It's your job. They all go like this, and they talk when they pitchers are. I mean, you know, people are going to try to steal. It's 2023. The technology is too good. Yeah. People are going to steal signs. I mean, if you're not smart enough to hide these things, then shame on you. It's not a factor.
Do you think that coaches are sending students to film behind other sidelines?
Who cares? Okay.
Well, this is why I don't care as much. Again, like
he's smart enough.
The fact of the matter is, you've got 4K definition. These signs are in. Remember Chip Kelly with all of his signs?
Yeah.
The fact is, this is nothing new.
Nothing new.
Anybody could bring his cell phone out, and this is during a game. Like, if you break into the locker room, if you literally break in and you have cameras in close practice, that's different. But if you literally are filming during a game and you're watching carefully,
who cares?
You know what? That should be fair game.
Play football.
So I think that was sensationalized. And even Yeah, go ahead, Charlie.
Why not just change the signs every week?
Exactly. Why are you taking the day off? Do your job, hide the signs, change it every week, Charlie. You're right.
That's a good point, Steve.
It's a great point.
No. What you make.
Stealing votes for stealing signs, Doc.
So you make a good sign.
It's election day, baby.
It's election day. Steve, you make a great, great point about the signs.
Yeah.
So if it were up to you. Wouldn't it be nice then, Steve, because what you illustrated, it's not such a big deal. Wouldn't it be nice for the kids on Michigan if you said that there was no – you wouldn't punish them at all, right?
I wouldn't punish them at all.
So they could just do that. But
it's
Charlie
said, change the signs every week. Be smart about how you get the signs in. Chip Kelly had 50 million signs. It was confusing. Make it their job hard. They are going to do it.
It's just
everyone's going to cheat.
It's just gamesmanship.
It's a matter of who's getting caught. They're all cheating. They're all doing it.
So you look at before we go to NFL, I'm going to talk about Drew Aller. I actually believe if Drew Aller was eligible for the draft this year, I would maybe even take him as the number one pick. I just think, Steve, did you see Drew Aller in person last week? Steve, did you see Drew Aller? Why wouldn't you take Drew Aller as an NFL quarterback,
Josh? Did you see him against Ohio State?
I did see him against him.
He completed a pass.
Does he have great wide receivers at Penn State?
I'm looking at the fundamental things. He doesn't know how to throw the ball deep, Spencer. I'm not taking him. Charlie, you watch a ton
of them. You watch that Maryland game?
Against Maryland.
They're a powerhouse.
He's 6'5", the number one recruit in the country. And Charlie, does the guy not have a big arm? Does he not have intangibles?
He's got a long way to go, though.
He's
got potential, but he's got to develop. He's not coming out like I don't think he's on anyone's radar yet. But he's got the intangibles. He's got the size. He just has to develop.
Well, the good
news
is
he's not throwing receivers open either. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't have the deep ball, like Coach said. He does not have a deep ball, and that's crucial. Look at Bryce Young, one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the history of college. Look at Mac Jones. The windows are so much tighter in the NFL. Like, it just really does make a difference. You got to have a missile, and you got to be able to throw a ball. Sometimes to get an 18-yard out, you got to throw a ball 60 yards across the field.
You can't put Drew Aller in Canton, Ohio yet. Not yet.
Well, the nice thing is about college and the NFL.
I'll own Drew Aller.
They insist that the players, get to their junior year. Unlike the NBA that drafts guys where it's really a crapshoot, I'm glad Drew Aller is going to have time to mature before he goes to the NFL because we've seen plenty of injuries. Just while we're on that topic,
AJ McCarron.
I want to talk about Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert dodged a bullet because he had a very serious injury. He basically was flung to the ground, and not only was pulled, his dominant arm was pulled by the defender of the Cowboys. He also slammed and landed his full weight on his arm. He could have had any kind of fracture. But what I hear my insider doctor with the Eagles tells me it was a simple fracture. It's not a comminuted fracture, not an angulated fracture. So basically the bones approximated well. What they did is they put a thin rod there in his ulna, the weight-bearing bone, and he did not have ligament damage, which is unusual. You often see something called a radial head subluxation or dislocation. He didn't have that. So it was a through-and-through break. And the good news for Dallas Goedert is he's projected to be back in 4 weeks, and he's a very important part of their team because the other tight ends are Calcavecchia, Cardasecchia, some name just exactly like that, not Luke Cardasecchia. And not Mark Calcavecchia, because he was a great golfer, but somebody like Greg Calcaterra, that's who he
Steve.
Is.
Steve.
Or Jack Stahl, who is a blocking tight end, really essentially an offensive lineman. And they haven't, Eagles haven't gone out and picked up a free agent tight end. So that's good news on the injury front. But that's a perfect lead-in to our first game as we talk about our NFL Fearless Picks.
Well, I tell you what, Doc, this week, you know, we got a barn burner to kick off to Thursday night. For as good as games were last week, these games, a little less of a feel. You've got the 1-7 Carolina Panthers getting 4 points as they travel to the 2-6 Chicago Bears. Tyson Bagnett, the D2 quarterback, he's the one that's led the Bears to a couple wins. So, Spencer, the Carolina's getting 4 points at Chicago. Where are we going?
So Carolina is favored by four?
No, Chicago's favored by four at home.
I like here in this spot. I think that that's a lot of points. You saw, actually, everybody was crowning C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud and the Texans actually lost at Carolina. If Carolina can kind of take care of the ball, Tyson Bagnett will throw a lot of interceptions. And, I mean, the thing is about Bryce is that we might be seeing a shift in the NFL that size actually does matter. I mean, for years it was Russell Wilson, or now you have Caleb Williams, who are below 6 feet. But really, Bryce Young, is he going to be too small to play as a good quarterback in the NFL? He's having his lumps, but guess what? I like Carolina at home, short week. I think they can actually win. So I'll just take them, and I love them with the points.
I think it's worth mentioning, Bruce, that Spencer is in first place at 22-14, tied with Dr. Bruce, the sports doc. Two first places over there. 22
the
and
13.
And it's not even
that,
close.
Something about that water in Wynwood,
Pennsylvania. Both of you are pulling away. Good. It's not even close.
So I also think Bryce Young, I think that he has a nice rivalry with C.J. Stroud, and I think that Bryce is learning. And, again, you're up against the Bears, and the Bears can always find a way to lose. So I'm going also with the Carolina Panthers.
You know, Dak, I like the way you think, and you know what? You guys have been winning, so I guess I'll join the party and go with Carolina in a game that I really don't care about at all.
Well, I mean, yeah, you guys are in first place, and it's not even close, and I'm, like, pulling in the trash cans here in the hole. But, I mean, Justin Fields is questionable for this game. They're at home. It's under the lights. I'm going with Chicago and giving the points.
Colin, who do you pick in this game of the what we call the Toilet Bowl, which is the Bears-Panthers?
El Toilette.
I think Bryce Young's got to be a little bit better than we've seen, so give it to Carolina.
Charlie?
This isn't too early to actually pick. The Sunday games I haven't even looked at yet. Bryce Young threw two pick six last week, but what went unnoticed is that Carolina only allowed like 179 total yards in the game. The defense played well. I think Carolina will show up tomorrow, and I think maybe the Bears win by a field goal, but the four I'll take.
But Bruce, there is an adjustment. Actually, the game is it's in Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. So in Chicago, I'm still taking the Panthers.
The picks are in.
What?
Picks are in. Over.
The election's over. There's no hanging chat.
Next game.
The good news is
too much time.
We're up against
the game is so bad anyway.
You got to see this. When you see that motion, it means you should know. Shut up. We're up against the break. Let's go.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome back into the last segment of Rover Sports. Everybody's in the house, full house backfield. And we're at, which I think is the most interesting part, if we look at the viewers on Jacob Media, most people are just streaming right till the end. And they're watching Charlie pretty closely. What's the second game, Josh?
Well, As we come back from a break, so did San Francisco. San Francisco's traveling to Jacksonville. San Francisco 5-3 and giving 3 points to the 6-2 upstart Jacksonville Jaguars. So San Francisco travels, but they're still giving up 3 points. Spencer, where are we going?
You know the saying, a dead cat can't bounce? Well, a live cat can bounce, and I'm not talking about a jaguar. I'm talking about the San Francisco 49ers. They've been down so many weeks. They have a bye week. They're too talented. You got Bosa, Fred Warner, maybe Devo comes back. There'll be more Niners fans in the hot tubs in Jacksonville. I really like this game, even though it's a West Coast team going east. I just think the 49ers have a little bit of pride, and I think they're going to win this game and cover.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. I think that Jacksonville at 6-2, they're not going to be quite as hungry. I think the 49ers certainly need to stay in the race to get a home field, some kind of a home field. And I believe they are getting healthier. And, you know, I don't think the Jacksonville, I think they're the worst 6-2 team. So I will go with the 49ers in that game.
I like the addition to Chase Young, and I think a week off to these guys a world of good. So I take San Francisco.
I mean, they lost three in a row, Bruce, the 49ers. Three in a row. That being said, Doug Peterson is at home. He's 6-2. It's an important game here. I'm going Jacksonville.
Colin?
I think the Niners get back on track here and cover that three.
Charlie?
I can totally see me changing this on Sunday, but right now San Fran is the better team. They're desperate. They need a win. I'm nervous about Brock Purdy. I think he's regressing. But until further notice, San Francisco.
All right, so then we're going to the next game, Detroit. Now, Doc, 6-2 Detroit. They're getting 2.5 as they travel across the country to the L.A. Chargers. The L.A. Chargers defense really showed up last night against the Jets. Turnovers, fumbles, returns for touchdowns. I mean, you know, they're only getting – you're taking a team that Detroit has been playing hot all year. Their defense is very good. They could shut down Keenan Allen and Justin Herbert, very similar to the Jets like they did last night. So they're giving up 2.5 and traveling across the country.
That's interesting that you could show how people just love the Lions. Spencer?
This game is very, very tough to predict, but I'm going to go with my gut here and – I just feel like the Lions can be pretty well coached, Bruce, and it's very tough. It depends if Jared Goff gets protection, but I think that the Lions can win a tight game, but I definitely don't have a lot of confidence. The Chargers played great yesterday.
I watched the Chargers game, and I was really impressed with their defense, just a swarming defense led by Bosa. And Goff is not particularly mobile, and so And it's not a great home crowd there, you know, in L.A. It never is. But I have a feeling that looking at that game, the Chargers' D is just going to wreak havoc on the Lions. Goff is just going to go back into one of his shells. So I see the Chargers winning this game. I'm picking the Chargers.
I like the Chargers too, Doc. I really do. I think I think there's a lot of pressure on the Chargers to continue down the stretch, so I like them. I think this is a huge game for the Lions, and I'm not sure they're ready for it.
I mean, the Chargers with Charlie Bowles. I do listen to Charlie, his favorite coach, Brandon Staley, there. He's putrid. Jared Goff has been playing really, really well indoors. I mean, while he's indoors, but I think this game is playing outdoors.
But so, it might be 80 degrees.
It might be 80 degrees. He's going back home, though, okay? This is his hometown. And he's already writing my thing in there. Why are you doing that? I'm going the Lions, baby.
All right. he's from the Bay Area, but he likes L.A. too. He's got the whole state.
Interesting game, Colin. What do you see here?
The Chargers have just seemed like a weird team to me all year, and I feel like this game has a little bit of a fluky sense. So I'll go Chargers, and I think this is probably a good one to go outright if you want to lay down some money also.
That's right. Charlie, it's kind of a weird game. Teams that don't play each other often. Do you have a vision into do you have a good feel for this one?
Well, I think it's a battle of two coaches who make awful decisions sometimes. I think Campbell's really right up there, too, as far as going for it on fourth down from his own 30-yard line sometimes. I think both are unhinged a bit. Campbell's obviously seems like a better coach overall, but I think that he makes poor decisions as well. Was it San Diego's defense, or is the Jets maybe the worst offense ever?
Worst offense ever.
It could be that, yeah.
The latter.
There could be a bias there with
the latter, Charlie.
With your boy, Zach.
I think Detroit is for real. I think they'll show up, and I think they'll win.
All right.
I knew you were going to say that, Charlie. And Jared Goff is coming back home. It's a prove-it game for Jared.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so then we have the Houston Texans, 4-4. C.J. Stroud looks like the best quarterback out of this class. Had 5 touchdowns last week. He's going on the road to Cincinnati, and Cincinnati looks like they've come back to life again, Charlie. So, Spencer, Houston.
How many does Houston's getting points?
Houston's getting 6.5.
Seven and a half.
Okay.
7.5 or 6.5?
Coach has 6.5.
6.5.
Let me ask you, Coach, who is the second best quarterback in this class so far?
I think it's still too early to tell.
But just guess.
I don't know, Spencer.
Could be Aiden O'Connell, the quarterback of the 8 is. But this is classic, like you just said, Bruce. With your tone of voice, I know where you're going. You're thinking, the public's thinking C.J. Stroud is red hot. They shouldn't be getting 7.5 points. But that's exactly where I'm going. I think that Vegas knows something in the desert. I think Cincinnati might win this game by 2 touchdowns. So I just think Cincinnati will cover
this.
What desert?
What desert are we talking about?
What desert are you talking about?
Cincinnati? Vegas.
Oh, desert. The Vegas got it. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's the desert? I
thought they were playing in the desert.
That confused me.
Is Cincinnati a desert?
So no. Who'd you pick, Cincinnati?
Yes.
I couldn't figure it out. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I try to confuse you so much. It's part of the voodoo.
What I see is C.J. Stroud obviously playing well, but once Cincinnati, Joe Burrow gets hot, his ability to just, his timing, his accuracy and timing is exceptional. And T. Higgins, who was kind of sulking and people said they were going to get rid of him, had a really good game. So they've got Chase and Higgins. They're playing at home, and I think that's a really good home crowd. I've attended more than one game.
7 points.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be – I'm taking the Bengals by 2 touchdowns in this game. I feel this is – Bruce Grossinger, this is the Sports Stack Lock of the Week.
Wow.
I'm taking the Bengals. Once they get hot, once they get going, the Bengals have been great with Burrow, and I just feel good about this one. Josh?
You know, Doc, I like your take, but I got to be honest with you. I'm going to ride the hot hand, C.J. Stroud. I just like the way he's been playing lately, and I think he's up for the Rookie of the Year, personally.
Yes.
The Bruce Grossinger Sports Doc, Rover Sports Lock of the Week. Wow. You are so on point because Joe Burrow is a history of doing this. He starts out slow. He's getting better and better, stronger and stronger. It is not only your Lock of the Week, it's my Lock of the Week. Go with
all righty.
In the jungle.
In the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. Thank you. Colin, who are you taking?
I'm going to have to talk up the Bengals, too. I think they're really coming together at this point. I like them to cover that number. The Texans are probably due for a bad loss.
Charlie?
Watch out. Since he, after 3 big wins, 3 tough wins against really good teams, he's about to let down. I'll take Houston.
Here we go. Charlie is good at the emotional pulse. Charlie's got the emotional pulse.
I'm already feeling more nervous now.
Well, I am. Whenever I pick against Charlie, it makes me feel nervous.
We need a website because everything changes come Sunday.
But I
was 9-1 against the number last week on Sunday. But if you take these picks, I'm like 0-10.
Okay. All right, who we got next?
Okay. You. Well, you know,
big game.
You know, you got the New York Giants,
woo!
Who look absolutely awful. I mean, how bad do they look the last couple games? And what's this? Danny DeVito is the quarterback, Spencer.
Danny DeVito. Is it the guy from Goodfellas?
Tommy DeVito.
Tell us about Tommy DeVito, Spencer.
He was in Jersey Boys, wasn't he?
He is a Jersey boy. He grew up in Don Bosco Prep. He went to Prep, and he started at Syracuse. He's about 25 years old, 6'3", undrafted practice squad guy.
So who are the Giants playing?
They're traveling down to Dallas, and they're getting 16 points to do it.
Wow, that's a big number.
And it's moving.
To move it.
What direction is it moving? Is it moving up?
Grab it at 16 because it's now 16 and a half.
It's George Jefferson moving on up. Moving on up.
All right, Spence, what do you got?
16 and a half.
I think that Brian Daboll.
16.
The Canadian Brian Daboll. The Giants decided to go with a Canadian and a guy from rural Indiana. John Mara went outside the family to try to save the football team, and the Giants are a shell of themselves. Brian Daboll got Coach of the Year over Sirianni last year, over Doug Peterson. It's a travesty. I think that the Cowboys, I mean, this isn't saying much, but I think that they're the better team, and they're going to win by like 20 or 25.
Yeah, I've seen the Giants. They're just absolutely horrible. This guy DeVito looks like one of the worst quarterbacks ever. This team is, I would call it a death spiral, and this is a dead cat. This dead cat won't bounce. I'm taking the Cowboys. That's an awful lot of points, and I wouldn't really want to bet the game if I was a betting person. That's just a lot of points. But I would take the Cowboys in this game.
I absolutely would take the Cowboys after a bounce back, after a tough loss like they just had against the Eagles. We're proved that they were more superior in the league and in the division. Yeah, the Cowboys win this.
Yeah, it's a 4 o'clock game. Dallas is at home after that really gut-wrenching, tough loss. This might be the Rover Sports Lock of the Week. Take the Cowboys to win by a lot.
Colin?
Dallas had a lot of blowout games. And in those games, they've had some defensive touchdowns, special teams touchdowns. So I think they're a little fluky, and maybe that drove the number up. So I'll take the Giants to cover here, but I still think Dallas will win.
Charlie, this is a big line. You've seen the Giants. Is there anything to like about that team, and who do you pick in the game?
I'd love to say this is a trap. It's not. And like the largest wager, I made in probably 5 years last week, and I kept quiet until the end, was Cleveland in the first half. This is another one. Dallas in the first half. I think Dallas will blow them out regardless, but I think Dallas in the first half, you'll be able probably to get it at a touchdown, maybe 7.5. You jump all over that.
All right, is this our last game?
Oh, well, this is like a 38-10 kind of game, 35-10.
We have one last game. Let's go.
We're going to go quickly through this last game. Here we go.
So, Doc, the last game of the week is it's a Monday nighter. We got the Denver Broncos, resurgent Denver Broncos. They won a couple games lately. And they're traveling to Buffalo, across, and they're getting 7.5. Spencer, where are we going?
I this has potential for backdoor cover, but since I have to give a lock of the week, I'll actually give the Buffalo Bills a little bounce back home cooking in Buffalo.
Yep, I'm just going to go Buffalo because we're just trying to get everybody's picks in before the end of the show.
I like Buffalo to come back and bounce back from last week.
I agree. I think Buffalo comes back and bounces back and covers.
Colin?
I'm still not buying Denver, even though they've been a little bit better. I got Buffalo in this one.
Pretty large consensus. Charlie?
Under 22-7 in primetime games this year. But I think Buffalo, after suffering a tough loss last week, comes back and handles their business.
I want to thank everybody for tuning into Rover Sports. And as always, good night and good sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Good evening, Philadelphia. I'm Colin Newby, and this is your weekly roundup for the Philadelphia Flyers. So I think it's fair to say that early season surge is over. The Flyers are a well-coached team with John Tortorella, and they have a good goaltender in Carter Hart, so they can be a tough out and stick with better teams for these short stretches, but I don't know if that's going to last over a long period of time. And especially with Hart and Couturier getting injured, no NHL team is really going to look great without their first-line center or their starting goaltender in the lineup. But the good news is that both those guys did make the trip out to California in this 3-game stretch against the Sharks, the Ducks, and the Kings. Two guys have been looking good. Got to think about Travis Konecny and Joel Farabee. Konecny's 26, but he's in his 8th year. Farabee's 23, and he's in his 5th year. We talk about Flyers making it through the rebuild, which young players are going to stick around when they are a playoff contender. Well, it's easy to forget how old these guys are based on how long they've been around, but both of them are having very good offensive seasons, and I expect them to be long-term building block. On the negative end, I got to talk about Morgan Frost. He's already sat 6 games as a healthy scratch. He got back in for 4, but he's already back on the bench. He didn't look terrible after the first benching, but he also didn't find the score sheet. And I think it's pretty obvious at this point that John Tortorella just doesn't see the value in the player. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about trade options for Morgan Frost in the next couple of months. This has been your Flyers Weekly Recap. I'm Colin Newby. Join us next week.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Grammer. Wounded Warrior Project supports injured veterans by connecting them with fellow warriors, by serving them through mental health and wellness programs, and by empowering them to live on their own terms. No one should face a battle alone. Join us at woundedwarriorproject.org.